Okay, Rabosai, Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov, and the 15th day of the Omer Tov, and all kinds of other wonderful Hatavot, and Bezrat Hashem, we should be Zeichet, all of them. We start today, is Daf Nun Dalid, brought to you from Yerushalayim Rakedesh, but we are going to start at the Halak of Mishnah, right at the beginning of the Perek, which is on Daf Nun Gimel, Amud Beis. So, habo al yevim to, bein b'shogeg, bein b'ones, bein b'ratzon. We need to define, we never defined exactly what the mitzvah of yibum is. I mean, we have this general idea that it's all about intercourse, but what exactly defines intercourse? I mean, there's all kinds of issues over here. What degree of insertion? Which orifice are we talking about? What are we talking about in terms of kavana? Do we need to have kavana? Are we talking about the woman needing to be involved? Does one need to have an erection? And so on and so forth. So these are all questions that have not been defined exactly when we talk about a general term. And in order to define the halacha, obviously we're going to have to zero in on what are we talking about. So let's first talk about the idea of the intent that's involved. So Abayivim tells us somebody now has intercourse with his Yuvama. Now, whether he did this by mistake, meaning he thought she was somebody else, maybe he thought she was his wife or whatever, and it did not have any intent whatsoever to take his Yavama, but it turns out that physically he did. Or whether he does it, Dafke knew the woman was the Yavama, but he was no interest whatsoever in the mitzvah. He's been waiting for his brother to kick the bucket so he could always have a chance at that girl. He always liked her. And that, of course, is completely, we're calling that mezid. In other words, mezid in the sense of bedavka. He's like not interested in anything over here except sex. And whether it was ba'ones, it's not quite clear what ba'ones means. Is because normally we assume that you cannot rape a male. And the reason you can't rape a male is because how are you going to get him an erection? And therefore, the Mishnah is very strange, because the Mishnah says that you could be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum, Ba'ones. When Ba'ones means you're being forced. How could you be forced? That the Gemara is going to be talking about. Or whether he did it Beratzon, the only reason we're doing it, I mean, obviously we did it Beratzon, then for sure it's good Beratzon, means he did have in Kavana for the mitzvah. But we're trying to fill out all of the blanks over here. We always go together. Shogeg, Mezid, Ones, Ratzon, fine. And the truth is, even if neither side of the relationship, for a different reason, so let's say he thought she was somebody else, and she was thinking, boy, it's a good thing he doesn't know it's me, because I always wanted to sleep with him, but I don't have the slightest interest in Yibum, so she is Mezida. Or he was only interested in the sex, and she didn't even know who he was, Vishogega. Or he was actually forced into this, again, however that is, we don't know what that means, v'hilo anusa, but she, on the other hand, she was not an anusa, and as far as she was concerned, she was actually whatever other will see that it means, even if both of them had no connection whatsoever to the mitzvah for the same reason, or perhaps she was anusa, but he was not anus. Maybe she was the one who was forced. It doesn't really matter. And it doesn't really matter what level of penetration we're talking about. The Gemara is going to have to define precisely what the level of ma'are is. Now we've got, really, the truth is we have four different levels of intercourse, possibly if we include all of the shitas. We have four different levels of intercourse. One is just lying a penis across a vagina without any kind of actual penetration at all. So that's called kissing genitals, nishika. And then you've got a slight insertion. So that slight insertion would just get the atara, the crown of the penis, inserted. And then you've got what we call gumarbia, which is complete insertion. And then there's one place where the Torah speaks about ejaculation, and there are the possibility that it means literally ejaculation, even though the Rambam doesn't hold like that, Tosis doesn't hold like that, we'll see in Rashi later on. But that would be four different levels of how we define an act of bia. So it doesn't matter whether you're just a Ma'are or whether you're a Gomer. In all of these cases, it's a good Kinyan. And what's more, we don't care where it is that you had intercourse, whether it was vaginal intercourse, it was anal intercourse, all the same. Lo chilek bein bialavia. The Torah does not indicate any preference for a way to have intercourse. And therefore, the mitzvah is yevamo yevo, which is a bit surprising because you would think that we are specifically interested in a relationship that could lead to a child, because the whole idea was that we want to be making shem alach yevameis. More, of course, is going to discuss this, but the pashtus, it ought to be limited to a vaginal intercourse, which ends up with ejaculation. And it says yevamo yevo aleha. Nonetheless, we have a technical definition of what those terms are. So we'll get to how we know all of this in the Gemara. The truth is that, and this is amazing, because this is exactly this week's Parsha, and what's more, it's this week's Parsha, whether you live in South Africa or you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's still this week's Parsha, because of the fact that the Psukim, of course, repeat themselves. That's one of the questions between Acharei Mos and Kedeshim. So here's the perfect place for us to get into this week's Parsha. So this is true about any intercourse that's mentioned in the Torah. So any of the Arayos, of course, are a Chiyav of Kares. And for that matter, even those who are not a Chiyav Kares, they're Psulais, that they're not meant to be married, but they're not a Chiyav Kares. Maybe it's an Isser on a Kohen. We'll see later on who it includes. So let's say, to go, I'm another Kohen Gadol. So in all of these cases, these kind of variations in Bia are exactly the same. The Torah says you passed her from the kahuna, in the case of we're talking about a kahuna, so this could be if her father's a Kohen, so then you become possible to go back to him. And if it's talking about becoming a Zona, if you actually did an Isser for the Kahuna, so then you become a Zona, so she would become a Asura for other Kohanim, and so on and so forth. And here too, the Torah does not care which orifice you're using for Bia, Vochilek, maybe Levia, it's all the same. The Lashon of do not have intercourse includes all variations. Now, when you say even where he was shogeg and she is mazid, so what exactly are we adding? What do you mean even? We said that it doesn't matter what he is thinking. So why are you pointing out that even if she is? Well, I mean, I understand. But we need to speak out like this. Not only a case where he is shogeg. But then we can assume, even though the mission didn't say, that would include her being mechaven the shem mitzvah. So, okay, so maybe we're relying on one of the partners actually having in kavana to do the mitzvah of yibum, and that defines the act as an act of yibum. But that's not true, the mission is coming to say. It doesn't matter whether he is shogeg and she actually wants to do the mitzvah, or he is bedavka, not mechaven of the mitzvah, and she is. Those were the first cases listed in the Mishnah. But what about if he is shogeg and she is bedavka, not interested in the mitzvah, or neither of them basically have any intention to do a mitzvah? That would be the point there, right? So if he is shogeg, she is mezida, neither of them, therefore, are mechaven l'shem mitzvah, afilu hachakonik. Nonetheless, it would be a perfectly good kinyan. Tani Rebbe Chia, and in fact, the Braisa speaks this out beferish. I don't care whether both of them are shogeg, both of them are mezid, both of them are anusim. The point is that you do not need, surprisingly, you do not need any kavana for yibum. You only need to have intercourse. That's all that we care about. Now, when we talk about forcing him, how exactly do you force someone to have intercourse? I mean, if we're talking about, let's say, a goy sticks a gun to his head, and says, okay, either you sleep with this girl or you're dead, right? So he does. So, the problem is that a gun does not buy you an erection. That's the problem. Especially somebody who can't have an erection to save his life. No, I don't mean that really. So, the point of here is, no, but that's an important point. It's a very important point because why not? If somebody is threatening your life unless you have an erection, so why isn't that basically being forced to have an erection? And if that's the case, why does the Gemara have a problem with being forced into intercourse if the only problem with that is, Omar Rava ain ones le'ervah, there's no such thing as saying that you were forced into a relationship that you're chayav misa on. Because ein kishui ela ladat, you don't have erections unless you want to have an erection on some level. And therefore, how can you call that by force? Now, does that really make sense? So in other words, why is putting a gun to your head and saying, unless you do avodah zarah, I'm going to shoot you, any different than putting a gun to your head and saying, unless you have an erection, I'm going to shoot you? So in both cases, you could say that you were forced to do what you did, right? So the fact that included in that erection is insertion or whatever, who cares? But basically, how can you say that that's not called forced? So this is an extremely important nekuda, which is nogea lahalacha all over the Torah. What is the difference between a case where somebody says to you, okay, either you pull the trigger and kill that guy, or you're dead. Now, are you allowed to pull the trigger? No. Not allowed to pull the trigger because that's one of the three things that you're not allowed to do, even if it costs you your life. But if you do pull the trigger, are you going to be chayev? No. Why? Because you didn't pull the trigger. The guy who held the gun to your head pulled the trigger by capturing your brain. Okay, so let's take that case as number one. Now, let's take another case, okay? This guy is out to kill the president. The president says, listen, either you save me or you're dead. Okay, now the only way that you know how to save the guy is by killing this guy. And assuming it doesn't have a din of erode, if the president was supposed to be killed like most are, and so on. So what about then? So there, you're chayev. Okay, the Rambam gives examples of these situations. Why are you chayev? The difference is that if included in the coercion is directly the physical act that you are expected to perform, then the coercion was directly to the physical act. If you perform the same physical act to save your life, it was your choice to save your life. You see the difference? You were the one who decided, I am going to do this to save my life. So because of that, the fact that there's a step in between the guys saying, okay, either you're going to sleep with this girl or I'm going to kill you. The step in between is getting an erection. That has to come from your choice. And then you can say, okay, if I have an erection at that point, the act of insertion is an act. But I could not get the erection because of some type of simple physical switch. I have to desire some type of sexual relationship. But that desire itself is not an ones. And so because of that, there is no way to force a guy to actually have relations that require an erection. So how does the Mishnah mean that you could be forced into yibam? Doesn't seem to make any mistake. Any sense? Now, maybe we could be talking about, perhaps you'll say, the guy was fast asleep, he had an erection in his sleep, and then she goes ahead and jumps on him and she inserts him. So, perfectly normal situation. Problem is, Amar Rav Yehuda, that if one is asleep, it does not achieve the kinyan of Yavama. Why? Because you need, forget about the issue of the question of whether the intercourse has to be with your rotzon. But the kinyan needs to be with a ben das. And a person who is sleeping might as well be insane at that moment. He's not considered to be a ben das. And therefore, he is not going to be yotze v'chiv. Now, that's how Rashi learns. There's a lot of problems with this because there are many rishonim who say beferish that yibum does not require this. We talked about this before. The question of a child's intercourse doesn't have das. And Rashi insisted over there also that the child needs to be able to have das. Otherwise, even if his act of intercourse is a regular intercourse, but it's not considered to be a Kenyan, most Rishonim don't agree with that. And the question over here is, does there need to be any kind of das in order to achieve Yibum? So we're going to see one of the issues over here is that there might be a question of ro'i labila. In a royal labila, do you need to be at least capable of kavana, or does it mean just you don't have kavana? So that itself is one issue. Is there a need to have kavana for a mitzvah, or is there a need to have a kavana just for the act itself? Or might there be a different issue over here, which we will soon see, that the act of intercourse is not defined as insertion of body parts into other body parts. It is a contextual act, and therefore it requires a contextual awareness. So we'll talk about all of those issues in a moment. So therefore, says Gemara, okay, how about I'll suggest another idea. Maybe the idea over here is that he just got inserted. In other words, suppose this guy was calmly about to address his wife, and he already has an erection, and he's suddenly blown straight off the roof, falls with his erection right onto his yavama. An amazing piece of acrobatics, but nonetheless, is that a good yibum? So maybe that's all that the Mishnah is saying. In other words, obviously, we're not interested here in the practicalities. We're interested here in describing a possible situation. You're telling me that coercion is not included in yibum. I mean, does the word make any sense? I don't care if the case is absurd and laughable, but the point is that the word makes sense. Remember, this is true in all types of theoretical and scientific discussions. We don't care about whether we'll actually get a case where this happens, or you'd never be able to get a mouse to smoke enough cigarettes to prove that cigarettes cause cancer anyway. So in any event, this is a pretty common kind of thing that we ought to be used to in our thinking. All right, so the question over here is the guy falls right into his yavama with his erection. The problem is that Rabba said that if you fall off of a roof with an erection and you penetrate a woman, so now what's the din? You caused damage and you're chayev barba dvarim. Remember, there are five things that you're chayev for if you go ahead and hurt someone else. And this type of, in terms of the Torah, rape is no different than anything else, other than the special knas that we have for rape. But otherwise, this is physical assault. So you have to pay for nezek, and nezek is a permanent damage to the body. You have to pay for pain, which is tsar. You have to pay for any type of medical expenses. So that's ripui. You have to pay for any money that this person is going to lose because he does not have an income anymore because he can't work for whatever thing. So we have shevet. Shevet means being unemployed. So you'd have to pay his normal income for employment. Obviously, exactly what you pay is an Ezekiel issue. It's not for here. But you do not pay for causing embarrassment, because being blown off a roof is not considered to be a desire to cause embarrassment. And as we see from the Pesuk, embarrassment is, again, contextual. It's not something that happens. It's something that you set out to do. But in any event, Rabba adds, but if this happened to your Yavama, it would not be called a Yibum. Why would it not be called a Yibum? Because it is not an act of Bia. It is an act of inserting a body part. This is all, you know, again, in Western civilization, take a broom handle and shove it up someone and be accused of sodomy. I mean, it's just absolutely laughable. So the idea over here is that not only is the physical act of body parts involved, it's certainly not broomsticks, for heaven's sakes, involved in the act of bia, well-defined body parts, which is the reason that a child under 9 does not have bia, because all he has is a broomstick. He doesn't have a penis, as defined by the Torah. It has nothing to do with whether he's able to sustain an erection. Obviously, a 9-year-old or a 9-day-old is able to have an erection. The point is that we're talking about over here the act, and the act is defined strictly, technically, la halacha. But part of the amazing definition is the contextual setting of the act. And being blown off of a roof and insertion into a woman is not called an act of intercourse. That's all. So therefore, what Rabbah is saying is, you would not be kind with the Yavama. So now, you can't be asleep. You can't have been blown off of a roof. So what happened? How exactly were you coerced? You couldn't have a gun to your head because that wouldn't count either. So what it's got to be talking about is a really active Yavama. This guy is about, now he's been pushing off this Yavama for years. No, 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 no. So she finally camps out under his bed. This is very smart. As soon as she hears, okay, honey, and he's got his erection, she jumps into the bed, throws his wife out of the bed, and inserts him. Perfect. A wonderful rape. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. Fine. So Kigonshinit Kavimishto. So he's got an erection, and she jumps on him. So fine. That would be the case of where it is definitely coerced. But wait. But there's another case where both of them were forced, which does not allow this interpretation. Because if she was under the bed and planning her big come out, then she's not being coerced, obviously. So how do we have two anusim? Okay. So then it would need to go back to the original case, which is the goyim. But this time, they didn't put a gun to his head. They just grabbed him and inserted his erection, which was already there because he thought he was about to sleep with his wife. They insert his erection, and they push him into the yavama, and that consisted of the act of bia as defined by others, perhaps. Depends what uba aleha is supposed to mean there. But all of this we'll look into. Fine. Anyway, how do we know any of this? Who is to say that when the Torah said uba aleha, it doesn't mean that you have to want to be Baalea, and it's got to be an erection for her, not some crazy, insane case like this. How do you know that that would count? The Tanur Rabbanan. Well, the Torah put in the words, Yevama yavo alea. So this is Yevama yavo alea lekachalo leisha v'yibma. Now let's take that in context, because remember, that it continues on to say, Vim lo chafetz, Vim tola kachdota, al ta yavim ta ashara, and she says, Me'en yami, lakim shem la'achiv, etc., etc. Now, that means that if it wouldn't have said yavamo yavo aleha, it would be pretty clear to me that there would be a mitzvah, as we're going to show. And the simple meaning of this is yavavo yavo aleha means that the Torah wants you to do yibum and not the alternative chalitza. So even though chalitza is also one of the tayag mitzvahs, but this is going according to Chachamim, and yibum is the lechatchila mitzvah, and even according to Abba Shaul, as we'll see, it's a change in circumstances, but not necessarily that the pasuk would be different, of course. Then we say, but there's another thing we learn from Yevama Yavaleh. Yevama Yavaleh teaches us that all that we care about is the act. And that's why I spell it out to you. Because even if I didn't spell it out, as the Gemara is going to point out, I know from the pasuk that insists that this brother is supposed to be getting a name for his deceased brother. The only way you can do that is by using the mechanisms that you have to do that. So obviously, I know what kind of equipment is going to be engaged in that mitzvah. So why do I need to spell it out by saying, Yevamo yevo aleha? Therefore, it must be that that's saying, I only care about the equipment. I don't care about anything else. Get this done mechanically. That's what I want, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, it's Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Ones, Bein B'Ratzon. As long as it was done, it was done. Wait. What do you mean, Dover Acher? You can't use the same pasuk to teach me two different things. If you're using Yevamo Yevo Aleha to tell me the preferred mitzvah, so then how can you use it to tell me Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Ones, Bein B'Ratzon? Didn't you just use this to tell me the mitzvah? That there's a mitzvah specifically to do yibum and not to do chalitza? No, not really. Because, look, if you read the next pasuk, it's very clear that the mitzvah was meant to be yibum. Because the pasuk says, Im lo yachpotza ish. If, it says, if he doesn't want, lo yachpotza ish lakachat idvimta, then you go up for chalitza, right? Okay, so, I mean, that's telling me that that is not our preferred solution. Our preferred solution is that we want this man to be lakachat idvimta, and he's not doing that. So, obviously, the Torah preferred that he would really do the yibum. So, therefore, I don't need the pasuk for the mitzvah. I was just making it sort of easy for you to see. Because that pasuk is telling me that if he would want her, we'd prefer that he should be miyabim. And therefore, yavama yavama really is needed just to tell me ben b'shargik ben b'mezin and so on. So v'chiyat akra, ben b'shargik ben b'mezin, ben b'an is ben b'rat. Now, there's another braita that learns this pasuk somewhat differently. It says like this. Yivama yavo aleha typically would mean kidarka, vaginally, normal intercourse. Why does it add afterwards ulekacha? Ulekacha, I mean, obviously, if he was yavo aleha, then that was one of the ways to be lokeach and isha. When it says ulekacha, it's talking about shelo kidarka, that actually, even if it isn't normal intercourse, you would be shkona. Then, when it could have said v'yibem, instead it says v'yibma, but just the word v'yibem, and that does yibam, so that teaches me that there's two separate things over here. One is v'yibem, and one is v'yibma. So the v'yibem comes to tell me, look, the only thing that I'm interested in over here is intercourse. Nothing else. Don't try to substitute other kinyanim for an isha, which would include kesev or shtar, which would be a normal way of engaging a woman. That's not going to help. And kesev or shtar gomrim. Then when you spell it out and you write v'yibma, remember that when you put in a mapik hey in a word, you have done something you can't do in English. What you've done is you've turned the object of the preposition into part of the verb. So you made it all one thing. That means that the verb does not require more than total objectification. And therefore the object over here becomes the woman who can now be treated as an object rather than as a subject. And that means that she does not need to consent. That's the point. So that v'yibma would mean ba'al korcha. Davar acher. Now, we said, yivama yavo alea. Okay. We said, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid. So, I don't get it. Didn't you say that that means yivama yavo alea? That if it just said that, it would have meant normal vaginal bia? Afikli likidarka. So how can we use the same pasuk to tell me ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid? Now, the truth is that I would have known the fact that initially what we're looking for is normal intercourse, because the point of this intercourse is the next pasuk makes it very clear. When she comes up and tells the court, look, this guy refuses to be mekim la'achiv shem. Well, I mean, the last I heard, the only way to get pregnancy is to use a vagina. It's very difficult to use any other body parts and get someone pregnant. So if that means lakim shame, it's got to be bimakom shemekim shame. I mean, you got to use a place that's going to be meaningful for producing a child. So then what would be the point of the pasuk then saying yevama yavo aleha if it already made it clear that we are interested in a pregnancy? So that is coming to tell me bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, bein b'onus, bein b'ratz. And in this second brisa. Now, I want to look a little bit at some of the things we quoted before and try to make sense of them. You said before that Rabbi Yehuda says that if somebody's asleep, that he's not going to be kona his yevama. Because since it says in the pasuk, yevama yavo aleha, it means that at least contextually, this has got to be what he's doing. So because of that, and that once we explain it, even if it's not b'shogeg, but what we do want is that he can understand that he is involved in an act of intercourse. And that's the point. And therefore, if he is not involved in an act of intercourse, he's asleep. So then, by definition, he has not done a yibum. But that's not true. There's a braita that says, Bein er, bein yashen. It says whether he's awake or whether he's asleep. No, that's a mistake. It should say, Ben era, ben yashena, whether she is awake or asleep. But that's because she can even be v'yibma, which means that she would be like an object. But he has to have kavana. Excuse me, but there's another braita that makes it clear that that's not true. It says, Ben er, hu, ben yashen, hu, ben era, he, ben yashena, he. I mean, cut it out. It makes no difference. What we're talking about over here, that a yavam can be miyabim while he's fast asleep, that's talking about a mitnam name, somebody who's paying attention to daf yomi, like Richie, perhaps. So that type of person is sort of asleep. So he's sort of asleep, but he's sort of not awake. So now the question is, okay, can he actually engage in intercourse? We won't ask you these questions, Richie. They're a little bit too personal. But what would be the din of mitnamnim in terms of kinyan of a yavama? That's the issue. So that's what it's referring to. So when we were talking about the bein yashen, it doesn't mean literally fast asleep. It means dozing off. Okay, well, remember that every time we have that word dozing off, we always go through the explanation. And what is dozing off? So this has been done so many times that even somebody who is dozing remembers it perfectly well. And Richie is happy to tell us what mitnam name means. So hechidami mitnam name. Well, it means you're asleep, sort of, but not fully. You're awake, but not fully. So that, let's say, somebody calls you and you're able to answer the call, but you're not able to give any kind of intelligent response or something. You say, So below yada la dure svara. You can't say something that needs logical steps, but what you can do, let's say you say, Richie, where'd you put the car keys? In the refrigerator. Okay, so then if the car keys are actually in the refrigerator, so then enachinami, that would be a case of mitnam name. Otherwise, he's bad off. V'chi mitker le'mitker. So if we remind him of something, so then he will remember. So did you put the keys to the car in the refrigerator again? So if he remembers whether he did or not, so that's called being only mitnam name. Now, gufa. Oh, my rabbi. So we said before, if a guy falls off of a roof with an erection, is chayev ba'arba advarim, ubivim to lo kana. Let's go through the cases. Is chayev in arba dvarim. What are those arba dvarim? Nezek, tsar, shevet, ripui. So he has to pay for any damage that he caused to her body, any pain that she suffered. If she's out of work for a week, he's got to make up for the lost income, and he's got to pay any medical costs. But he does not have to pay for the embarrassment. Boshet lo b'chayev. D'yomar mar eno chayev ala boshet ad shit kaved. There's never a chiev for causing embarrassment without any intent to so do. Omar Rova, suppose this guy, this yavam over here, has got Portnoy's complaint. So he's basically, he wants to ejaculate into a baseball glove, you know. So in this kavin latiach bakota, this guy's actually going to ejaculate onto a wall or a hole in a wall. He's not kone if he ends up in his yavama. But if he intended to ejaculate in an animal and instead he ends up in his yavama, then he is kone. Why? Because as we see in this week's parsha, there is a concept of intercourse with an animal. Now, you would say, what makes an animal an object of intercourse instead of an object of masturbation? But it says so in the Torah. It's considered to be bia. And therefore, that would be the difference. Is there a kavana la bia? Okay, so that comes out clearly from all of the psukim that we had this week's parasha, either in Achrimos or in Kedeshim. All right. So now, the next question. How much of an insertion is considered to be an act of intercourse? So the Mishnah said, Echad Amare, or Echad Agomer, doesn't matter. Omar Ula, where does this idea come from that whatever this Ara is, we don't know what Ara is yet. We're going to see that that's a machlokas. But how do we know that Hara, which is only the first stage of Bia, is considered to be actual Bia? Shinema. V'isha sheyishkavet isha dava. So, this guy is sleeping with a nida. And gilat ervata, et mikora he'era. So he'era means he's sort of uncovered her. He has bared her, he'era. So obviously it doesn't mean literally uncovering, because that's gilat ervata. So et mikora he'era, mikan la'ara min ha'tera, that whatever that first stage is, we don't call it actual bia, Torah isn't referring to bia, but it goes beyond simply being migale et ervata. So he'era has really gotten into it, like somebody who throws himself into a battle. He's going, ma'aret, ma'afsho. He is throwing himself into doing what he needs to do. So this is the first stage. Okay, but this is only a nida. How would you know that this would be true about all of the arayot in the Torah? Now, I know what you'll tell me. You'll tell me, well, I mean, why can't we just learn it out of a nida? If the Torah refers to intercourse as a hara, so wouldn't that be good enough for any of the arayot? No. Because we know that nida has a particularly chomer, it's more stringent than any of the arayot. In what way? Mala nida shekin mitam ad bo'ala. Remember that the very act of intercourse with a nida is sufficient to give him the din of Anita, so that he actually becomes Tamei with her Tuma. That is a fantastic Kiddush, and maybe because of that, there are different standards for what is considered to be sleeping with Anita than for the other Arayot. Maybe for the other Arayot, we have stricter standards, which we don't call something a Bia unless there was complete penetration. So bring me another Raya. Okay, I'll bring you another Raya. In the case of an Eshet Ach, the Torah also compares the Eshet Ach, strangely enough, to a Nida. Weird. Ish asher yikach et Eshet Achiv Nidahi. What the heck is that supposed to mean? Your brother's wife is a Nida? Why would she be a Nida? It's ridiculous. Ella must be saying that the Torah is comparing her to the din of a Nida. Just like a Nida Yerchayev Bahara. So the Isser of Eshet Ach is also an Isser, even just with Hara. So we'll learn out all the other of Arayas from there, because we don't have a reason to single out Eshet Ach. Well, now, wait a minute. Let's think about that. Some of these Arayot can be created, and some of these Arayot are only if they exist. Now, an Eshet Ach, you can make as many Eshet Achs as you want. In other words, if this brother just keeps going ahead and giving Kedushin to all, I don't know, 10,000, 20,000 women, whatever, every woman that he gave Kedushin to becomes an Eshet Ach. So it's possible that the type of Erva, where if you want, you can go into the thousands and manufacture women that are prohibited for your brother. Okay, so then that means that we could actually only add to it things that you can do that to. In other words, any member of the set of Arayot that are creatable through marriage. Okay, so your father can marry someone, it becomes an Eshes Av. Your son can marry someone, it becomes Kalato. You can marry a woman and have a mother-in-law, whatever. But then there are other things where they're either there as a blood relative or not. I mean, you can't create a mother, you can't create a sister, and so on and so forth. So over there, I would say maybe there is a greater din that if the Torah allows you to just go ahead and keep creating these things, then maybe just having a less of a penetrative intercourse is considered to be Bia. But other types, maybe not. Okay, fine, okay. So then I know where to learn it out from. Let's learn it out from Achot Av and Achot Im. Now it says over there, Ervat Achot Imecha,
ve'achot avicha lo tegala. Don't marry your mother's sister, your father's sister. And it mentions, strangely, ki et she'ero he'era. So it uses the same word that it did by the Nevi'ah, mikora he'era. So it's telling me that just the beginning, the first stage of intercourse is sufficient. So then all rayas are like that. Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, maybe those are bedafka, the set of arayot, that they come on you. In other words, it's because of the fact of the relationship, not because of the fact of marriage. So that would only be true for someone who is a relative, but not for people that are related to you through marriage. So how are we going to cover all of the cases? Says the Gemara, okay, fine. You could not find one source to cover all the cases, so let's combine the sources, right? Let's put together two and thereby learn out the rest. So, michad lo atya. I can't learn out from any one source, but if I put two together, then I can cover any other source, okay? So, tete chodemi tarte, okay? Show me. Show me. Okay, you want to put together eshet ach and achot av v'achot ein. So, two different places. One was eshet ach, one was achot av and achot ein. And in both of them, it tells me that hara is asur. And therefore, it should apply to all arayas. Not true. Because both of those cases are cases because they're related to you. How about if you sleep with another guy's wife? So, that's not covered over here. She's not related to you in any way. So these are arayot, or are arayot that have nothing to do with relations. So if that's the case, you would not be able to learn out. Okay, fine. You know what? I'll take the nida. Okay, the nida is not related to you. Okay? So let's take the nida together with the achotav and the achotim, put them together. And since in both of those we have hara, all arayas are covered. No. Because both of those isurim occur without needing somebody to marry someone. So how about something that only happens because you married them? What about an eshet ish? Okay, fine. Oh, man, you drive me nuts. Let's take a nida and an eshet ach, okay? So how are you going to show me that those are unique to a particular case? What are you going to say? You can't say that it's only with Anita because she's Metama is Baala, because obviously an Eshet Ach is not Metama. You can't say that it's only in cases where it's marriage because Anita is not marriage. So that covers everything, right? Marki Lorvach Bredervika, no, because you could still say that Mala Nida and Eshet Ach are unique. Nida and Eshet Ach will never be permissible in the life of the person who, or the event that makes them asur. In other words, the nida is going to be asura as long as she's bleeding. And your brother's wife is going to be asura as long as the brother is alive. But what about an eshes ish? An eshes ish, the moment that her husband is actually gives her a get, she's no longer asura. So she could become mutter to you during the lifetime of the source of her iser. So how would we know that there's a din of ara there? Oh, malay, Rav Acha midifti l'Ravina. Wait a minute. I mean, Anita and Anesha's ach. Are you trying to tell me that b'chayeos ran hu dein len heter? Acha mikan yesh len heter? I don't understand why you said that. I don't have an answer to your question. I just think your question is phrased very childishly. Well, the way that you said it is absurd. It's not because the chai osan ein lehem heter. I mean, because after all, the case of the nida, what are you going to say over there? That has something to do with the chayim. It's biyumi tal yamilt. It has to do with how many days she's been in nida. The case of eshes ach is dependent on having children, you know? So over there, it depends on whether he had children, and then she'll always be asura. You should have said it differently. If you want to ask your question, here is the correct way to ask that question, because it does not behoove you to ask dumb questions. Questions have to be clear and absolutely well-formed, okay? Let me restate your question, please, and then we can think about answering it. As a correct way would have been to say this, Prichochi, Ma'ala nida ve'eshetach, shekein ein osran matiran. The point is that those two cases will not be made permissible by the issue which made them usher. That's the point. So you cannot say that the flow of blood is going to make her mutaret. You cannot say that the death of the eshetach is going to make her mutaret. It depends whether he has children or not. And the only case where actually the source of the prohibition is what makes her usher or mutter is a married woman. Where over there, the source of the isser being her husband, he is capable of canceling that isser. So that was your problem. But okay, it's a valid problem. So now, where in fact do we learn out all of the isurim from an elegant source? Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah. Now, finally, we get to, we've talked about this before many times, but we never got to the place where Rabbi Yonah says his famous hekesh. And here at last is Rabbi Yonah's hekesh. Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah, v'itemer v'hune b'red Rabbi Yeshua, Omar Kra, kichol asher yaseh mikola toevota ele, v'nichretu anefashota osot. The beautiful closing, close to closing words of the parsha. Anyone who has any of these kinds of relationships are v'nichretu. So then that would mean any means hukshu kola rayot kola lanida, which means that anything that we find in quality, that we find in the definition of any of these relationships is hukash in the Torah. And remember, ein hekesh lemechetza. You can't pick and choose when the Torah puts something together. And therefore, if we find that the Nida is Bahara, Af Kol Bahara, the problem is that now we have just taken away the need for all of those other psukim that we've had, right? Because, I mean, we found like three different cases where the Torah will use the word Hara, or a case where it will compare an Isser to Nida, like Beishas Ach. Why do we need any of that? Now that we have Rabbi Yonah's Hekesh, that leaves all of those additional sources hanging, and there's no application. So can we please now go through those psukim? Why did it call an Eshet Ach a Nida? Ah, there's another reason for that. Look at Rav Huna. Rav Huna said, where is there a remez to the din of a Yavama in the Torah? What? What? What the heck are you talking about? Minayin? I mean, last I heard it's a pasuk in the Holy Book, you know? It says Yavama Yavoala. What do you mean, where does it say a Yavama in the Torah? I mean, how do you know that a Yavama is actually a Surah B'chayei Ba'ala? Suppose your brother divorced this woman, right? So, did we find a strange case that if he dies, you're supposed to marry this woman? So instead of your saying, wow-wee, I guess the Torah wants you to marry an Erva, why don't you say, idiot, this woman is only Asura so long as she is your brother's wife. If your brother's dead, or if your brother divorced her, so she's no longer your brother's wife. So there's no Isser in marrying your brother's wife. Okay, so how do you know if your brother divorced his wife that you're not allowed to marry her? That's what I'm asking. Can I go show me? Now that's a good question. So where is there remez that it's Isser? Well, I mean, why do I need a pusik? It's very reasonable. If the Torah says that if your brother dies, then you go and do Yibam, so it's mashma, that if your brother didn't die, that then you can't sleep with her. No, excuse me. If a brother died, then you have to sleep with her. And if your brother didn't die, then you don't have to sleep with her, but you could. So, b'chaye ba'ala reshut, that's no argument. Or I could even tell you, you know what? Maybe it means to say like this. You're right. After your husband dies, then you marry her. In your husband's life, you can't marry her. What's that? Is that a lotase? No, it's a lo taseh ba michlal aseh. Since I'm telling you to marry her only in the event that your brother died, so then that means if your brother didn't die, don't marry her. Okay, fine, I won't marry her. But if I do marry her, what do I do wrong? I was over on this mitzvah taseh. I didn't even do a lo taseh. Torah never said don't do it, just implied don't do it by telling you what yes to do. So it certainly would not be an Isser Kares. It wouldn't be an Isser, even an Isser Malkus. So show me where it says in the Torah that a brother who divorces a wife, another brother is going to be chayav on eshet ach, and not just on it being a lava b'michlal aseh. Because a lava b'michlal aseh is an aseh, and it is not a chiyav of kares by any stretch of the imagination. Now, so says Rav Huna, now that you've exhausted your questions, are you ready to hear in some intelligent solutions? Okay, here's my intelligent solution. Amar Kra, since it says in the Torah, V'isha sheyikach et eshet achiv nidahi. How do you explain that? Your brother's wife is nida? What? That's ridiculous. Ella must be telling you that there's something about your brother's wife that is a comparison to a nida. That just like a nida, although there may be plenty of heter le'achar mikan, I mean, when she becomes your wife again and is tahora, so she's completely tahora. And nonetheless, while she is asura, she remains asura. So to an eshetach. Where the Torah tells you there's an heter le'achar mikan, which is yibum, bedafka, where there's no children, there she's asur, but as long as she's asur, she remains asur bekares, just like the nida. Okay. Now, we have another redundancy now that we have Rabbi Yonah's Hekesh. Why did we need Hara to appear in Achot Av and Achot Em? What did that teach me? I already know that Hara is considered to be an act of Bia from the Hekesh of the Rabbi Yonah. Aha! That was coming to teach me what it was that Ravina asked from Rava. Ravina asked Rava, suppose you do just penetration into a male. What's the halacha? Is that considered to be a full act of bia? What kind of dumb question is that in a male? What do you mean? The Torah says, mishkevei isha. It compares a male to a woman, beferish. I mean, that's the whole point. So then whatever defines an act of intercourse with a female is an act of intercourse with a male. What's the difference? Sorry. Okay, you're right. What Ravina actually asked was, ha-me'areh b'vehima mahu. So now, said Rava, okay, then I'll give you an answer. Im eino inyan la'arod dechtiv gabe achot ava achot eim. After all, there was no need for the word hara by achot ava achot eim, because we already learned it out that Yibekeshim and Rav Yonah. That hara is coming to tell me that hara applies even to animal intercourse. That's odd, isn't it? I mean, isn't that a strange place to start talking about something that has to do with animals? I mean, look, the chiyuv of an animal is actually one of the mitot beit din. And why in the world? I mean, there are sets of arayas, right? So we have the set of arayas that is our isurei karet, and we have the set of arayas that is isurei sreifa, and the set of arayas that are isurei skila. Or we could put them all together in a set of chayvei mises, but I mean, it's really a little ridiculous to write the din of hara in a situation which is not even a chayvei misa. I mean, you're talking about achot av and achot em is only a chayvei kares. Isn't the right place, if you want to learn even from an imeno inyan, I mean, imeno inyan has to be contextually meaningful. So why is it here? Why wouldn't it be gabi mitot beit din? And then we would be learning one type of mitot beit din from other mitot beit din. I'll tell you why. Because this whole pasuk of anachot av and anachot em is a special pasuk whose entire purpose is to teach dinim that are not directly nogea. Yeah, I'll show you. I did a kulik rala drasha atya. We include other things that are only drushas. What do you mean when you say that? My drush. Oh, okay, I'll tell you. Okay, the Braita says like this. Ervat achot avicha lo tigale. Now, that pasuk, ervat achot avicha, that is coming to tell me, bein mina av, bein mina em. Do I know whether that sister is paternal or maternal? Doesn't matter. Could be either a paternal sister or a maternal sister. So says you. I don't see that in the pasuk. Where do you get that from? Maybe it means, as often is the case, only a paternal brother, right? So if this sister is a paternal sister and not just a maternal sister, no, says the Gemara, but I mean, that's not logical. Vidinu. But if we find a chiyuv over here in a father's sister, and we find a chiyuv in your own sister, so doesn't it make sense that just like your own sister is, whether it's your father from the same father or the same mother, because it says that beferish in the Torah, right? Bat avicha o bat imcha. So it says beferish, whether it's paternal or maternal sister. So then here we're just talking about the sister of a father. It should also mean paternal or maternal. Why do you say that I would need a drasha? I'll tell you why I would say. Because maybe we should look at it like this. The Torah says your father's sister is b'chayev. Okay. Now there's something very similar to that. Chiyev b'dodato. A father's brother's wife, which is the female equivalent of your father's, the male equivalent of your father's sister. So your father's brother's wife is the same thing as a father's sister. So we spoke about that idea of substituting a male to female continuation in place of a genetic female, right? All over the Rabbanans and the extensions and sometimes in the Diraisa. So if it's Mechayev you with a father's sister, and it's also Mechayev you for a father's brother's wife, so then I can taina that just like a father's brother's wife is only considered to be an erva if it's your father's paternal brother's wife, and not if it's your maternal brother's wife, which we're going to see how we prove that in a minute. So maybe the same thing is true. Your father's sister is just like dodato, and it's only if it's a paternal. So since I don't know where to learn it from, now wait a minute. I know what you're going to say. Since I don't know where to learn it from, that's why I need the extra pasuk. No, wait a minute. Which one is more logical? Why don't we think about what's more logical? Should we compare a father's sister to your sister, or should we compare a father's sister to your father's brother's wife? Okay, here's how I would look at it. We should don an iser, which is ba me'elav. Your father's sister is a blood relationship, right? It does not require marriage. So let's learn out from your own sister, which comes by itself. It's the genetic history. But don't get involved in a case of your father's brother's wife, your auntie. We're over there. It's not your real auntie. It's just you're calling her auntie because she's married to your uncle. Okay, so that's a marital issue. And that is not an Isra B'Me'elav. It didn't come by itself. Well, because I could show you maybe the opposite approach, huh? Maybe we should look at it like this. So Kalach L'Derazel. What we ought to do is learn out father's relatives from father's relatives. Your father's sister, your father's brother's wife. But why should we learn the father's brother's wife? I'm sorry, the father's sister from your sister, which is Krovei Atzmo. Okay, so have we gotten anywhere by the use of logic? No. Because we can't really show which one is the correct way to look at this. Therefore, comes along the pasuk to say, "Ervat achot avicha lo tigale, bein mina av, bein mina em. Ervat achot imecha lo tigale, bein mina av, bein mina em." And basically, this whole thing is repeated in Achrimot and in Kedoshim. Why do we need to repeat the whole thing? Because we want to add that it doesn't matter whether it's paternal or maternal. That's the point, and that's why this part of the pasuk is here. So, why did we need to have both? We needed to have that additional iser in terms of achot av, and also an additional iser in terms of achot em. So, how do I know that this? Why wouldn't I just simply be able to learn it in one? And I would say, okay, so just like your father's sister is usher to you, whether it's paternal or maternal, so too is your mother's sister. Om Rebbe Avoka, there's a big difference. Because if the Torah would have written Achot Av, I would say an Achot Av is considered to have a familial relationship with you, because families are defined by Mishpachat Av, Lemishpachot Beit Avotam. but an achot aim, it's not the same familiar relationship. And on the other case, let's say the Torah would have said, your mother's sister. Yeah, of course, your mother's sister. I understand that, because your mother is definitely your mother. So the Torah is ready to be makbid on that. But your father is not necessarily your father, and therefore the only reason we assume your father is your father is because, look, even if your mother's been playing around with other people, most of the time she would have gotten pregnant from your father. Okay, that's sort of a loose connection that you have with your father. So maybe the Torah is not that makbid on the erva from the father. Okay, so therefore I would have said, achot av, maybe since you don't know who your father is, so then it would have to be, at least we should be more makbid, it should be from the same father. Tzricha, therefore I need it to be the same. By the way, why did you say that your father's brother's wife, and you said, well, that for sure is only from the same father, not a maternal brother's wife. How do you know that? Why did you take that for granted? Omar Rava, that's because I learned out the word dodo in two places. Over here where we're talking about sleeping with your father's brother's wife, it says that's the equivalent of ervat dodogilas. You uncovered the nakedness of your uncle. But it says in a case of geula, where we're talking about needing to buy back someone who had sold himself. Over here, if he sold himself to a goy, so it says, O dodo, O ben dodo yigaleno. So just like over there, dodo, O ben dodo, by definition, is mina av, velo mina aim. That's, we're going to prove in a moment. And here too, it's mina av, velo mina aim. And how do you know it's only mina av over there by geula? Because Omar Kra, it says Beferish in that pasuk, mi mishpachto yigaleno. It says misheer b'saro mi mishpachto yigalena. And mishpachto in the Torah is only called mishpachat av kruya mishpacha, mishpachat ein, ein na kruya mishpacha. And that settles that. Now, we're going to be talking tomorrow about these dinim of siblings and the differences between paternal or maternal siblings in some rather cute cases. But meanwhile, I left you to put all of this into your pipe and smoke it, because there's a lot of smoking required tonight. The new laws about cannabis cover even the second Yevamos and even this kind of tough stuff.